May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. My history teacher at secondary school I thought was brilliant. Not everybody did, but I thought he was brilliant. But he would say the most outrageous things. He was funny. He was sarcastic. And sometimes he could be downright offensive. But he was always challenging. You just never knew what to expect with him or what he might say next. And after a particularly outrageous thing that he said, he would say to us, "You know I'm given to exaggeration. Take what I say seriously, but don't take it literally." This was his way of getting us to look beyond factual history and see a deeper truth. It was his way of challenging our preconceived ideas and our expectations so that we might see something new, hear something new, think something new. And ultimately, as a result, I believe it made us better critical thinkers. And I wonder whether that's what Jesus is doing today in today's gospel reading. And I wonder whether we can attach the same caveat to his parable as our history teacher did to some of the outrageous things he said to us. Let me explain what I mean. Have you ever received an invitation to a party or other function that you really didn't want to go to? What did you do about it? I bet you didn't mistreat, abuse, and ultimately murder the postman. I hope you didn't, anyway. But that's what happens in this parable. Maybe Jesus is exaggerating. Have you ever invited people to a party and they didn't turn up? You cleaned, you cooked, you decorated, the table's set, the candles are lit, the music is playing, everything's ready, but some of the guests haven't turned up. Did it make you so angry that you sent a posse of ruffians round to kill them and burn down their houses? I hope not. But that's what happens in this parable. Maybe Jesus is exaggerating. So this parable is about the king. It's his son's wedding. It's outrageous. It's so shocking that it begs to be taken seriously, but perhaps not literally. To hear this parable and conclude that God is an angry king who, if he doesn't get his way, destroys his own people and burns their cities, simply does not fit with the God revealed to us through Jesus Christ throughout the four Gospels. If we tell that story, maybe we are taking Jesus too literally, but we must take him seriously. Now, there is no doubt that the parable we've just heard is a parable of judgment. But it may not be the judgment that we think it is. When we speak about the first group of guests, the king says those invited were not worthy. By implication, the second group of invited guests were worthy. Now, we tend to get a little bit nervous and fearful when God begins making judgments. It leaves us wondering whether we are in the first group or the second group. Are we unworthy or are we worthy? And I suspect our nervousness may come from fear about God's judgments, arising from the assumption that God judges us in the same way that we judge each other. Our judgments are usually those of exclusion. But what if God is different? What if Jesus in this parable is trying to shock us into seeing that the kingdom of heaven is not business as usual, according to our standards? What if God's judgment on our lives is one of grace, acceptance, and invitation, a judgment of inclusion? If that's true, what separates or distinguishes the first invited guests from the second? The difference is not that one was more deserving than the other. The first invited guests were the recipients of the king's invitation and favour, but so were the second invited guests. And so was the man who showed up without a wedding robe. They were all invited. They were all favoured. None of them had done anything to earn or deserve an invitation. It was just given. If that's true for them, then it's true for us. The difference isn't that the king likes one group more than the other group. His sole motivation is to share his banquet. He wants someone, anyone, everyone, to join in the joy and the celebration. He wants them to be part of his kingdom and his life. Both groups are given the same opportunity. If that's true for them, then it's true for us. The difference isn't that some guests are good and the others are bad. There's no distinction or judgment made based upon behaviour, beliefs, attitudes, or morals. On the contrary, with the second round of invitations, the king sends his servants into the main streets with the instruction to invite everyone you find. And they did. They went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. If that's true for them, it's true for us. Now, we probably don't have the kind of social life that a king has. We don't offer one another the kind of hospitality, perhaps, that the king does. But the parable is talking about God's kingdom and not ours. So what is it? What is the difference between those who are worthy and those who are not worthy? There's only one thing that distinguishes the first group from the second group: presence. The second group of invited guests showed up. The first group did not. The wedding hall was filled with the guests from the second group, but the first guests would not come. That's the only difference between the two groups. The key to our life in God is to show up and to be present. And that perhaps is a little bit easier said than done. Showing up is perhaps the easy part. To be present is difficult and requires work. Think how difficult it is to be present to another person. It means establishing them as our priority. It means seeing them for who they are and not who we want them to be or who we think they should be. It means opening ourselves to receive life, their life, into ours. It means really listening to what they say, and not just what we hear or what we want them to say. It means letting go of our own agendas, distractions, fears, and prejudices. And it means bringing and offering all that we are and all that we have. We need to do that with other people. We also need to do that with God. But all too often, we go our separate ways. And as it says in the gospel reading today, we go to our farms and our businesses, or whatever keeps us busy. There's work to be done. We have money to make. We make light of the other's life and what is being offered. If we don't earn or work for it, we assume it has no value. You get what you pay for, right? We're convinced we have better things to do and better places to be. This is what the first group of invited guests did. They did not realize, and what we sometimes do not realize, is there is no life outside the banquet. To show up and be present is to be worthy before God. It's that simple, and it's that difficult. We don't earn or prove our worthiness as a prerequisite to entering the banquet. We show up, we are present, and we discover for ourselves the worthiness God has always known about us. And that's when our lives begin to change. So what about this guy who shows up without a wedding robe? Why was he bound up and thrown out in the street? This isn't just about a dress code violation. Something else was missing. He was speechless. It's as if he wasn't really there. Jesus is reminding us that there are times when we show up, but we're not really present. Our body is there, but our mind has left the room. So here's what I wonder. What if this man, who didn't have a wedding robe, had just said something, anything? What if he had just made his presence known? Not just to the king, but also to himself. What if he had said, "I was hungry, I smelt the food, and I trusted you to feed me. I was lonely, I saw the lights, and I trusted you to take me in. I was sad, I heard music and laughter, I trusted you to share your joy." What if he had said something like that? It would have been enough. He would have shown up with all that he was and all that he had. He would have been present. Then maybe the king would have said to him, "Oh, my dear friend, I'm so glad that you got my invitation. I'm so glad you are here." If that's true for him, then it's true for us. Show up to the feast, and at all times and in all things, be present to God. Amen.